I'm Molly Hull and welcome to Refer and Reward, a BSI internal podcast. If you're not sure what Refer and Reward is, it's basically a process to reward all our non-salespeople for identifying and submitting a prospect which becomes a sale. You refer the client and we pay you for it when it converts a sale. It's as simple as that. In this series of podcasts, we are talking to experts about the key benefits of some of our key products, mostly based around our star standards aligned to the BSI strategy. To help you get the most out of the Refer and Reward program, we'll be giving tips on how to start conversations when you're speaking with potential clients and how to spot opportunities to get them interested. All the details from this podcast can be found in the show notes. Any questions, just drop me a message. Good morning, Dave. Thank you so much for coming on the Refer and Reward podcast today. I'm so excited to have you here. I hope you're excited as well.
Morning, Molly. Yeah, happy to help.
Thank you so much. So what we usually do on a podcast is I start off by letting you introduce yourself so everyone listening knows who you are. So Dave, take the floor.
Okay, my name's Dave Taylor. I'm one of the management systems tutors on the InfoSec team. So I've been with BSI fast approaching 3 years nearly. I deliver 27,001, 22,301 to business continuity. I also do 31,000, 20,000 part one service delivery. What else? And the new 42,001 AI. Artificial intelligence.
Wow, you do a lot, don't you?
Yeah.
I've just
been approved to do CISM as well for ISACA. So firmly helping in the digital trust world, that's kind of where my background and knowledge base kind of sits. So
perfect, because I think what we would like to speak about today is the AI 42,001 from your perspective and the training world. So now you've introduced yourself, what would be quite nice is obviously you do so much, but if we focus on AI, and if you could just tell me and everyone listening a little bit about AI 42,001 and the benefits it has, some of your key benefits.
Yeah, so 42,001 came about, it's standardization for AI, artificial intelligence, and the problem is that going on with the world is that it's the new thing, isn't it? AI, it's fast developing out there, and there's the whole debate about, is it friend or foe, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Undeniably it's a good thing, you know, organizations embracing it, using it, we use it, even people who are blissfully unaware and think, oh no, I don't like AI, we're using it as day-to-day, you know, things that happen, use it on social media uses AI to think about the feeds that, you know, things you like and try and feature certain things. AI helps you write your emails. AI helps you sort of, you know, even down to text messages when you've got your predictive text, doing things like that. AI is there. It's around us all the time. It's a really, really good tool. It can be a really great thing for organizations to embrace. It can help with, you know, streamlining things, making things easier. It takes a bit of the grunt work away. Shouldn't be seen as replacing humans, really, that there is an element of controversy over that, but you should never really fully be replacing humans. However, it absolutely helps with taking the grunt work away and making things easier to do, and that's the good side. But there's the bad side as well, which is, you know, the nasty people of the world out there who are using AIs for some really bad things, you know. So obvious examples there being like deepfakes, where you've got, coming from my digital trust InfoSec kind of background, where you've got people going into, you know, what they think is a meeting with their financial, you know, the CFO, someone like that, requesting money, and visually it looks like them, audibly it sounds like them, but it's not, it's someone else using AI to construct and what, you know, what they call a deep fake.
That's scary.
Yeah, it's successful as well. It's really successful. And there's some really nasty things that AI is being used for. They're the extremes, obviously, the good and the bad. In the middle, there's people who are using AI for good reasons, but not doing it very well. So what this standard is all about is about making it so that artificial intelligence is used ethically. It's controlled. You're looking after the data that's held within it. you're doing it the right way. That's what it's all about. You know, the people who want to do it for the good, but aren't really sure about how to do it.
And so with the whole AI and how good people could really use it in their organizations, what about the, so we obviously have the training courses that you deliver for 42,000. What sort of happens on those training courses? What do you do on them for organizations? Why would they want to come on them?
So that's okay. Yeah. So the 42,000 suite of courses follows the structure from our other standard courses. So we've got the requirements course, we've got an implementer course and an internal auditor course, and then we've got the lead auditor, lead implementer courses. So it depends on what background you're coming from. 42,000 is relatively new. It only came out last year, 2023. And we're finding it's a bit of a slow uptake because everyone's a little bit nervous around it, not really sure, but it's starting to sort of grow now. Everyone's starting to come in. We've got the courses ready to go. We've started, you know, we've generated some courses. We've got people coming on the courses now, and it's really exciting times. We're probably going to get a lot more to begin with on the implementation side. But that will follow obviously with auditing. What you'll get from us is that knowledge of the ISO standard, how it works. We're not AI experts. We wouldn't be doing this job if we were AI experts. We're ISO experts, but we know what the standard requires. So we can delve into the controls that are in there. We can delve into, you know, the requirements, explain the background of 42,001, which I'll do it separately in a minute if you want me to. And we can give you that whole understanding of, first and foremost, a management system, how the management system works, and then the uniqueness of 42,001.
Of course, so there's a lot to cover, isn't there? There's really a lot in it.
Absolutely. So I mentioned the background of 42,001. So when it was set up, they kind of looked at it and looked at how they're going to build it. Obviously, all ISO management systems, I say all, the majority of ISO management systems follow that high-level structure. There are obviously some out there that don't, but the majority of them do, certainly the core ones that we use out there. You know, clauses 4 to 10 all follow in that same system. But you always find a little unique, what I refer to as an ism, as a standard ism. For example, 9001, there's a lot more in clause 8, whereas in 27,001, there's a lot more in clause 6, because it's all about the planning and preparation. So there are slight differences between. They kind of looked at 42,000 and thought, well, how can we do this? Well, you know, what's the best way of doing it? And the reality is it lends itself very well to the way 27,001 is built. So as I said before, 27,001 is very much about prevention rather than cure. You know, try and lock things down, try and prevent the data breaches, try and look after your availability. And it's 42,001 is very, very similar in that sense, in that you've got to do all your planning right first. So what they've done with 42,001, if they've pretty much mirrored the structure of 27,001. So for an organization, if you've already got 27,001, you'll understand the way the management system works. You know, when you look at 27, you've got within clause 6, you've got the requirements to do a risk assessment. Then you've got your risk treatment, which in got all your Annex A controls. And you know, you've got an SOA in there as well, a statement of applicability. In 42,001, it's exactly the same. You know, clause 6 starts off with thinking about your AI risk assessment, then looks into your AI risk treatment. Again, exactly the same. Load of controls down in an annex. There's 38 controls specifically around AI. And then it goes into building your SOA from that. The addition with this standard is that you've the next step after that also asks you to look at an AI system impact assessment. That's one thing 27 doesn't have, which this one does go beyond. Other than that, the standard is the same. When you look at clause 8, it mirrors clause 8 from 27,001. So there's lots of similarities. It's built on the same framework of 27,001.
So everyone that comes into the training courses on this is what they would learn about if they when they come to do the course. Right, okay.
Absolutely.
And it's very similar to 27,001. So really, organisations that have 27,001 already with us, or people that are do a lot of, I don't know, security, information security, things like that, this is a course that would be good for them, you know, of a company of any size or...
Yeah, I mean, all our standards are built generically so that the way they're worded, they can be applied to organizations that are really small or organizations of your corporate global giants of the world. The controls specific with 27, same with 42. The way the controls are listed, they're very generic in that sense. And then there's a supporting guidance within that that then explains how to look at those controls. So one of the differences with 42001 to 27 is that in the 27 family, you've got 27001, which is your controls, and 27002 gives you the guidance. Whereas in 42001, the controls are embedded in Annex A, but the guidance is embedded in the same document in Annex B. But it's still there. You've got all your guidance then, and that guidance gives you the information of best practice, what we'd expect to see from those controls. And that can be applied, as we say, to an organization of any size, and they can implement that how they see fit.
Perfect. And I know you've obviously put a lot of time into training for AI and a lot of you have in the tutor world. And I feel like everyone, you know, it's growing so fast.
It is.
It's insane. You know, we see it every single day.
Yeah.
I think a good point to just to touch on is the, you know, we were speaking about the government funding. Mm-hmm. That maybe people that are not listening to this or haven't heard about it, would be a good point to just add in if you want to explain.
Yeah, so so the government's backed where we're going with this 42001, and in essence, you can apply for funding. Any organisation can apply for funding, and they can access up to £10,000 and save 50% on AI-related skills training. So in essence, if your organization's training is going to cost you up to 20k, well, you can get 50% of that off. If it goes over 20, obviously you'd have to pay the rest. But it's quite nice, that, isn't it? Quite nice. You can save yourself 10k.
Yeah, I'd save myself 10k any day.
Absolutely.
No, that's brilliant. Okay, so what? Just to come on from that, just, you know, if anyone wants any more information about government funding, I will be adding it to the Referral Award Hub page. So if there's any sort of questions people have after this, then it will be on the Referral Award Hub page for you to have a look at. So Dave, my next question for you, as I've had so many this morning, is how do you spot opportunities? So when you're delivering your courses to all your delegates on a day in, day out basis, how do you spot somebody that may need AI from us? You think, oh, actually, the training course for AI would be really great for them. What do you do?
Yeah, so I'm, as I mentioned before, my background cyber. I'm CISM, so I'm Certified Information Security Manager. So all the courses I deliver, I've always kind of got that in the back of my mind. And I'm very much that mentality. So I've delivered courses that aren't cyber specific. For example, 31,000 doing a risk course for a waste management company. And they're all about waste, all about the stuff they're doing. One's learning about 31. And I kind of sat and went, cyber in the background, you know, just kind of like getting to think about that. Because the reality is, it doesn't matter what business we are, there's not many organizations. In fact, I'd probably say there's very, very few who don't use IT. Because it's just so embedded. Yeah, it's so embedded in the way we work nowadays. So cyber, you can't ignore it. AI, you can't ignore it one way or the other. So it's there and we've got to embrace it. If you don't embrace it as an organization, this is what I kind of talk about. You know, if you don't embrace it, you're leaving yourself the disadvantage about that competitive edge, isn't it? When you think about an organization trying to compete against other organizations, if the other one's embracing AI and using it the right way, I'll add that, they're going to have that competitive edge over those who are shy and, oh, well, we're a bit scared of AI. So you've got to try and think about doing it the right way. So I always kind of have those conversations. On the courses, I'll spot people who, I mean, not everyone's tech savvy, and I completely understand that, but AI is always a good topic. And it's one of the ones I always talk about across all the courses we deliver. We always talk about plan, do, check, act. We always think, you know, you've got to embrace that change. When you get to the end of your management system, go back to the beginning and start all over again, plan, do, check, act again. And one of the things about that is changes to external issues. And the minute you even look at the world of technology, AI is right up there as the one of the most fastest, quickest developing and evolving subjects that you can't ignore it. You can't. You have to kind of embrace that. So I'll always have that little conversation. I throw AI out because it's you can react to different people's you can see different people's reactions to it. Some people go, oh yeah, great, and others go, ooh, and then it sparks a big debate. Because some people are scared of it, and that's okay. It's all right to have that air on the side of caution, but you've also got to think it's there for good as well.
I think a lot of people are always scared of new things,
absolutely.
Yes, and it's different generations as well. You know, people
definitely
at an older age are sometimes more scared of technology than what a younger generation are. And I think it's, you know, the BSI Academy and the training courses that you guys deliver is there to help people understand why AI is there for the good and what good it can bring to all of us, really.
Absolutely.
All of us. So I think from that, we've obviously covered you and who you are. We've spoke about 42001 and artificial intelligence. We've spoke about the government funding. We've spoke about how you spot opportunities with your delegates. And I think what would be good to end on is that if, you know, we've got client managers will be listening to this, we've got tutors that all listen to this, we've got people from all around the business, that if anyone has any questions on the Training Academy or the Force 2001 training course, you would be a good contact, you know, to speak to people if they have any questions on this.
Absolutely.
Or,
I don't mind that. And I remember doing an all-hands talk, specifically talking about cybersecurity. And one of the feedbacks I got, which sticks with me, is that, I've actually got it on my desk because it's a nice little reminder, is... Dave did a fantastic job of explaining the importance of cyber. Really admire his ability to explain tough concepts. So if anyone is listening to this and thinking, I don't really get AI, don't really understand what it's on about, just give me a shout. I'll quite happily have a little chat, probably pull the socks off you and talk and just talk about AI and break it down into something that hopefully you can understand.
And I think that's really good. And I'm really glad you'll be able to offer that support for people, because I think what we find difficult sometimes is that BSI offers so much. And at the minute, we're offering so much to our clients that people can't always grasp their head around everything. But what's important with AI is that it's really applicable for every single client, every single delegate, you know. So there's no reason that we shouldn't be talking about it, referring it, you know, understanding it. So also, another point we need to add is that obviously if anyone refers in a opportunity or a prospect for a training course, your client gets 10% off. So you've all got discount codes. Dave, you've got your discount code that you can be using. So yeah, I think that's brilliant. We're using that to the end of Q3 now. So, you know, clients are getting this government funding. You get to give them like that 10% off as well. You then get 3% of the closed one sale value. So there's, you know, there's incentives and initiatives for our clients, our delegates, but also us internally as well to
absolutely
to understand it. So Dave, I think that's been an excellent podcast, and I really am grateful that you come on and shared all that and knowledge that you have, because you are one knowledgeable guy. So thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed being on the podcast today.
Yeah, I did. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And hopefully you'll come back again soon and talk about something else.
Brilliant. If you'll have me. Brilliant.
I will.
Cheers,
have
Molly.
You. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you for listening to the Refer and Reward podcast. I hope you enjoyed it and can take away some key information. Please keep an eye out for emails and updates from myself regarding the process and helpful tips you can use with your clients and delegates. Any help, I am here. So reach out.